Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Noel. Thank you, Peter, for the very kind words of welcome. Returning here today to Lisburn Baptist Church, it has been a particular joy to hear from Arlene, and all that the Lord is doing in Austria reminds us that He's the great Lord of the harvest, and He's bringing in the redeemed from all over our world. And in our troubled, perilous times, good to know that He is absolutely in control. A joy to be with you this morning. We're reading from Romans chapter 1. This evening, I just was mentioning, perhaps I should say, ask permission, tonight at the gospel meeting, marking 63 years since I trusted Christ the Savior on this very day. And so I thought I would take the opportunity of giving testimony. That's why I asked permission to do it tonight. But it's always a joy to testify. If I say 63 years, some people would be thinking I got saved when I was in my nappies. But it's a little more than that, but it's good to tell what the Lord has done for us. Can I also say that just last week, we released another book, God's Promises, Tried and Proved. We used to sing, every promise in the book is mine, every verse, every chapter, every line. Of course, that is not always true. There are messianic promises, there are national promises, specific promises, and God gives to us personal promises. Well, here we have got 40 chapters telling of different people who have tried and proved the promises of God. Some from York Street, like Lily Bowl, Molly Harvey from Ashankel, Priscilla Livingstone from Lisburn here, who married C.T. Studd, and so it goes on. Just people who proved the promises of God. I mention that because our good friend of Agri Gospel Mission, Stephen Wright, will have these here on Wednesday evening if you're interested in them. I told Stephen they cost $8.99, but all of the copies here I've signed, so the signature cost you a penny, therefore it'll be £9. And Stephen said the people at Lisburn, they are likely to rub the signature out and just pay $8.99, so that's up to you. However, let's read from the best book of all, the Word of God, Romans chapter 1, and we're reading verse 1, and then from there we'll go down to verse 13. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. God always blesses to us the reading of His sacred word. Pastor Jeffrey Ward and myself have got many things in common. And one of those is that we began our working life in the post office. I was a telegram boy and then a postman. And letters played a big part in our lives. I heard about a fellow who wrote to his girlfriend every day. He wrote that frequently that she ended up marrying the postman. It didn't happen to me, and I don't think that happened to Jeffrey Ward either. But I mention that this morning because when we come to read the letters of the Apostle Paul, the epistles of the Apostle Paul, we find that letters played a big part in his life. When you go to Acts chapter 9, the chapter that tells of his conversion, why, the very first chapter tells that the Apostle Paul was carrying letters from Jerusalem to Damascus. It's not that he was a postman, but rather those were letters of authority from the Sanhedrin that he would bind all those who belonged to the way. Those who were Christians, he carried those letters of authority. And so, therefore, he carried letters. Of course, we know that he wrote many letters. Almost half of the New Testament is assigned to the Apostle Paul in the great epistles that he wrote. And then he loved to receive letters. The letter to the Philippians is actually a reply to them for a gift that they had sent to him by Epaphroditus or Epaphras, who had taken that letter. I heard of John Finley, whom I mentioned in this book. John Finley was a missionary with C.T. Studd in Africa and then in West Africa. And when he was building a school in West Africa, in Liberia, they'd run out of funds and they were trying to build the roof of the school building when a letter arrived. And in the letter, it was a letter from Rennie Thompson in East Belfast. Rennie was a butcher. And when he received the letter, inside was a postal order for £100. When he saw it was from Rennie Thompson, he said it was the best Rennie he ever received in his life. It encouraged him. And so it is, the Apostle Paul received these letters that greatly encouraged him. I mention all that this morning because we come to this letter, this epistle of Paul to the Romans. It is not the first letter that he wrote. As a matter of fact, in chronological order, we've got to go to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, to find that he wrote that missionary letter to a young church. But we come to this book of Romans, which is most certainly a foundational letter. It has been called the Magna Carta of the Christian Church. In this letter, he gives to us the great sweep of God's redemption, salvation for us in Jesus Christ. So much so that in chapter 8, he reminds us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. However, the Apostle Paul began this letter by identifying who he was. He said these words in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I don't know about you, but many times when we lived in Brazil in the Amazon, we used to get our letters once a month and sometimes in other places once a week. And when we received those letters, we downed tools and we just went through all of our correspondence. However, many times we got letters and we weren't sure who they were from. And as it is our custom in this land, we had to go to the end of the letter to find out who signed the letter. Not so with the Apostle Paul. In all of his letters, right at the beginning, he identified who he was, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And if you go through the letters to Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and right through, you will find that the Apostle Paul always identified who he was. However, I think that beyond identifying who he was, the Apostle Paul loved to testify of what Jesus Christ had done for him and how Jesus Christ had transformed him. And so it is in this letter. I feel that in this first verse, the Apostle Paul was testifying, reminding us of the words there in 1 Peter, that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we are to be ready to give to every man an answer as to the reason for the hope that is within us. That is to testify of the Lord Jesus. It is said of Gypsy Smith, after 70 years converted, someone said to him, "Why are you still so enthusiastic?" He says, "I've never got over the wonder of what Jesus Christ has done in my life." And that's a wonderful thing to have, never to get over the wonder of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so it was the Apostle Paul, as I said, constantly through his letters, you will find there is an outburst of thanksgiving for all that God had done for him. As he said to Timothy, he thanked Christ Jesus our Lord, who had committed the ministry of the gospel to him. I'd like to take this first verse in these moments accorded to us this morning just to look at the steps or the principles of the making of a man of God, as the Apostle Paul indicated the making of a man or a woman of God. The scriptures remind us in Philippians chapter 2 that it's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's a wonderful thing this morning. Looking down at each Christian, the Bible reminds us that every one of us, we are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God is at work in your life as he is at work in my life today. And here Paul sets before us what I find are principles of how God works in our life. First of all, he begins this salutation, or this, as I call it, a testimony, by mentioning his name, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, all Bible scholars, and I think here at Lisburn Baptist Church, all would be familiar with the fact that this was not always the name of the Apostle Paul, was not the common name that was given to him. As a Jew and a persecutor, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. The very name of Saul of Tarsus put a shiver in the spine of many Christians, for he is the one who not only stood and witnessed to the execution, the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, but as it says in Acts chapter 8, he is the one who led the band, who took many Christians captive, put them into prison, and in chapter 9, he was on his way to Damascus to bind those who were off the way. He was the great opponent of the gospel, enemy number one of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, however, is the name by which he was known in the Greek world. Saul. Saul was his Hebrew name, called after the first king of Israel, and he himself belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. And therefore, as for many Benjaminite boys, they were called Saul, and Saul of Tarsus was no exception. However, he was now known in the Greek world, where they spoke Greek, and he was called Paul. But we know that behind the changing of the name, there was a changing of the nature. And therefore, I underline this morning to take the opportunity that here is the Apostle Paul reminding us that there was a change in his life, a transformation in his life, where he was saved by the mighty grace of God. Can I say, my friend, this morning, that is the first step in the making of a man or woman of God. It is that experience of conversion. Our Lord Jesus Christ said over there in Matthew chapter 18, that except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You remember that one of the most religious men that we meet in the Bible was a man of Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, one who was a rich man, familiar with all the traditions of the nation and all the ceremonies of the temple. But our Lord Jesus reminded him that he needed to be born again. And that experience of being born again meant that he needed a brand new life, not a change of life, but a new life. And to receive that new life, why, he needed to be born again, born of the Spirit of from above, as Jesus Christ called it, this eternal life, this abundant life, or as the Apostle Paul reminded us, the Christ life within our hearts. My friend, I say that this morning because perhaps there may be one here who is not a Christian. And you have never been born again. You have never received that experience of receiving Christ and receiving a brand new life into your heart. Jesus called it an abundant life in your heart. The Lord Jesus said these words over there in John chapter 5 and verse 41. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death unto life. And my friend, can I say, that's a wonderful thing that happens in conversion. That's exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. For him, it was a very dramatic experience of shining lights and a voice that was heard. In Acts chapter 26, he said those words, I saw a light, I heard a voice, and I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. My friend, can I say, if you hear God speaking into your heart, not with audible tones, but perhaps in the small watches of the night, or perhaps in those secret moments, God has been speaking into your heart that you're a sinner and you need him as personal Savior, while the Apostle Paul had tried to fight against that, kicking against the pricks. But thank God, grace prevailed, and the Apostle Paul was born again. He passed from death unto life, from darkness unto light. And that can happen to you this morning. If you're not a Christian, my friend, you can receive Christ, receive a new life, abundant life, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. However, the Apostle Paul not only indicated that he was saved by the grace of God in that conversion, for that's what conversion means, it means a change of life. However, the Apostle Paul was indicating he was not only saved by the grace of God, but here is a man who was wholly surrendered to the will of God. Listen to what he says. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, remember, he was not only writing to the Romans, but he was writing as a citizen of the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, there were stratas of authority. It all began with the emperor, and from the emperor down to the senators, and from senators to governors and to centurions. And guess who was at the bottom of the heap? Servants, slaves. And here's the Apostle Paul putting honor and dignity to the word slave and says, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Can't you imagine writing in those times where there were 70 million slaves in the Jewish, in the Roman Empire? And Paul takes the word slave because that's the word. It is actually the word that is taken from Exodus chapter 21, where it tells the story, or the principles rather, of a bond slave. The bond slave was one who was not only bought by his master, brought into the family, into the household. That's what God has done for us. He has bought us, redeemed us. He has not only bought us, he's brought us in. The Bible reminds us in Colossians, he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. However, the bond slave at the end of 7 years had opportunity to go out free. But at the end, if he loved his master, he would turn and say, I love my master, I love my wife, I love this family. I will not go out free. I will serve him freely forever. That bond slave was taken to the doorpost and an awl was taken. And he bore a mark through the hole in his, a hole in the lobe of his ear. And for the rest of his life, he bore that mark, indicating that he was a slave of his master because he loved him. Can't you see the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul saying, I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of it. And why? Why? He felt he was a debtor to God. He says it later in the chapter, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Here is a man who felt the constraint of love to serve his master. My friend, I ask you this morning, do you feel that constraint? Not so much of your love for Christ, but rather the constraint of his love for you. He bought you with a price. The Apostle Paul indicating here that he was a slave. Being a slave and serving his Lord was not contributing to his salvation, but rather because he was saved, he was surrendered to his Savior. There's a little limerick that says, I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. Would that be you this morning? When I look at the Apostle Paul and think of why he was surrendered, it was because he felt that debt of love to Christ. When I think of the Apostle Paul saying that he was a servant of Jesus Christ, and I read his story, and I ask myself, when did he become a servant? When was he surrendered? Why, right in Damascus. It tells us that immediately he began to testify of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And then I ask myself the question, where did he serve Christ? You remember Paul was converted in Damascus or on the road to Damascus. He testified in Damascus and from there he went to Jerusalem on journey. Some would not receive him in Jerusalem until Barnabas put an arm around his shoulder and introduced him to Peter and John. But from there, he went back to Tarsus. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 12, we read that the Barnabas himself had to go down to Tarsus and bring Paul up to Antioch, where he began his real service for God, where he became that missionary for Christ. But before he became a missionary, as we read about him in Acts chapter 13, before he was sent out into the world, do you know where he began to serve God? In Tarsus, at home. At home. My friend, amongst his own family, in his home church, in the little fellowship, if it was a fellowship in Tarsus, And can I say, I believe there is a principle there. And the principle is this, as Oswald J. Smith said, the light that shines farthest is the light that begins to shine nearest home, in your home church. And our surrender to Jesus Christ, my friend, is not something that will just take us across the world. It'll take us across the street, across the office, across the classroom, to reach our neighbors for the Savior. That commitment to Jesus Christ is a commitment to his church, to the work of the church. And here is the Apostle Paul owning up and saying, I am a slave, surrendered to Jesus Christ. Listening to Arlene this morning, of 40 years in Austria and beyond that, 50 years in the work of God, can I say that is commitment? But Arlene did say that all of that began here in Lisburn Baptist Church. It's important to serve God where you are, in the very church. Some people have the idea that if only we could get to such and such a place, we could serve God. And while I appreciate mission trips and those who will go to Africa and Europe, mission trips are wonderful, my friend. But it's not just a mission trip. There's a work here. There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. Let me move on in this time this morning. For Paul is not only indicating that he was saved by the grace of God in that transformation, not only surrendered to the will of God, but here is a man who was ready to be sent to the work of God. When he said these words, called to be an apostle. The word apostle, for us today, it's got those religious connotations, but in the first century world, it was a common word. It is a word that we would use today for a rep or an agent. The word apostle just simply means a sent one. Now, in the New Testament sense, of course, it has a very particular meaning, but the source, the root meaning of the word just simply means a sent one, called to be an apostle. And can I say, that follows after surrender. Here's the Apostle Paul saying, I am a slave of Jesus Christ and God has called me to be a sent one. As a matter of fact, I think he indicates something of this over there in verse 15 that we've already indicated when he said that he was not only a debtor, but he used those words, I am ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. You see, in that sense of debt that he owed to his Lord, he was not only faithful in his service for Christ, he was flexible, ready to do anything, be anything. It reminds us of what he wrote to the Corinthians when he said those words that to those who are under the law, I became as under the law. To those who are without the law, as one who is without the law. And then he said, I make myself all things to all men, that by all means I might reach some. And he followed that by saying, and this I do for the gospel's sake. My friend, I ask myself the question this morning, what am I prepared to do for the gospel's sake? Flexibility, I am ready. Dare I say it this morning, but sometimes in the formality of our churches, it is easy to become cocooned in our church program for a whole week and just everything revolves around our church. And in a sense, that's wonderful. But let's remember, there's a whole world out there that we've got to relate to. And if they're not going to come to our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services, my friend, we've got to go to where they are. The word of the gospel is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I was just meditating yesterday on those words, my son, go, work this day in my vineyard. My son, he belonged to the family. My son, go, where? My vineyard. Do you know where the vineyard of the Lord begins? When we walk out of the door of this church. There's a church in Canada, and above the doors, I was going to say the entrance, but it's also the departure place, We have a word for it in Portuguese. I can't remember it in English now. But at the going out, it just says, you are now entering the mission field. Here's the Apostle Paul was absolutely flexible, and you remember that he was ready just to go. As a matter of fact, Acts chapter 16 reminds us he wanted to go to Bithynia. He wanted to go to Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit did not permit him. But then at Miletus, he had a vision of a man in the night, the man of Amazonia, no, not Amazonia, the man of Macedonia, saying, come over and help us. And the Apostle Paul, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called him, he was flexible to go to Europe. And we're benefiting from that today, just because he was prepared to be sent. Again, I quote our missionary Molly Harvey, and she used to say, the only difference between you and me, speaking to a congregation, is God called us to go across the world, but God calls you. You're sent across the street, just across the street. Did it ever strike you that all of us are sent ones? I'm not speaking of joining a missionary society. God has sent you to that place where you work, that street where you live, this town, this community in which we are here. God has told us we are salt and light in our society. Finally, Paul, saved by the grace of God and surrendered to the will of God and sent to the work of God, here's a man who was separated to the word of God. He says this word, separated unto the gospel of God. Is it for that reason that later he wrote those words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's why he was separated to it. You see, the Apostle Paul could have given himself to many worthy causes. As I've already mentioned, in the Roman world, the Roman Empire, there were 70 million slaves. Don't you think the Apostle Paul would have served a worthy cause if he had given himself to the emancipation of slaves in the Roman Empire? That would have been a worthy thing. But it wasn't his priority. His priority, my friend, was the gospel. His priority was to go for God and to reach the lost for Christ. In mission for many years, and we appreciate all that Arlene has said this morning, we thank God for education in Labria, in Boca do Acre. As a matter of fact, in Boca do Acre, there's a school there today that's called the Molly Harvey School in honor of the work that was done in the school by Molly Harvey. The Gunnings started the school in San. We thank God for education. It is so important. But you know something? You can educate the mind, and one day the mind falls into senility. It passes. We thank God for medical work. I was with my colleague Dr. Geddes last night, remembering his great work in the interior jungles, away in the boonies of medical work. And Dr. Bill Woods, 25,000 people today are free of leprosy because of Bill Woods' work. As I tell people, over 500 people have received their eyesight back again because of Bill. I told the people that a man came in one day, had been blind for 9 years, and Bill operated on him. And when they took the swabs off, the man was able to see. And for 9 years, he hadn't been able. You can imagine what that meant. And the man was excited. He says, I can't wait till this afternoon. Bill said, why this afternoon? He says, my wife's coming. I haven't seen her for 9 years. Bill, with his characteristic humor, said, well, if you don't like what you see, I can't reverse the operation then. But we thank God for the great medical work that is done. But you know, you can work and cure the body, but even then, in this body, corruption is at work. But listen to what the scripture says. He that winneth souls is wise. The book of Daniel reminds us that those who win souls, they will shine as the stars of the firmament forever and ever. And that is the reason why Paul gave priority to the preaching of the gospel. God is at work in our lives. And thank God for every person here converted to Jesus Christ. But you know, it would be a wonderful thing if every member of this church was surrendered wholly to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, take these faulting words of ours, and we thank thee for the great word of God. We pray that the Holy Spirit will write it upon our hearts and help us, our Father, to walk worthy of our Savior, wholly, fully surrender to him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.